I've reviewed a lot of problematic cardiac arrhythmias on this ECG blog, especially regarding many of the various forms of AV dissociation and AV block. A fundamental problem continually arises, namely, how can we tell if a given P wave is or is not being conducted to the ventricles? Being able to answer this question holds the key for determining the etiology of many of the rhythms we encounter. Let's look first at the PR interval. Under normal circumstances in adults, the PR interval needs to be at least 0.12 second in duration. That's at least three little boxes on ECG grid paper for there to be enough time for the electrical impulse to travel from the SA node through the atria and then to and through the AV node. Slightly less time may be needed in young children because the size of the pediatric heart is smaller. Therefore, less time may be needed for a sinus P wave to be conducted from the SA node to the ventricles, so a PR interval of 0.10 or 0.11 second might be a normal PR interval in a small child. The two exceptions to this general rule, in which a P wave in front of a QRS complex may be conducting to the ventricles despite a PR interval of less than 0.12 second, are when there is WPW, Wolff-Parkinson-White, in which an accessory pathway allows faster conduction to the ventricles because the sinus P wave bypasses the AV node, or when the P wave in front of the QRS complex does not arise from the sinus node. For example, an ectopic atrial escape beat arising from a site low down in the atrium, and therefore much closer to the AV node, won't need as much time to be conducted to the ventricles. But apart from these two situations, if you see a P wave with a PR interval of less than 0.12 second, it is highly unlikely that this P wave is being conducted to the ventricles. What about the upper limit for the PR interval? How long can the PR interval be and still be conducted to the ventricles? The answer is very long. The PR interval can, on occasion, be prolonged to as long as 1 second or more in duration. So it is possible that the PR interval may be surprisingly long and still conduct. So how then do we proceed with a complex arrhythmia in which there appears to be some form of AV block and or AV dissociation? My favorite pearl for how I assess whether a given P wave is conducting is simple. I simply label all P waves in the tracing. I've been amazed at how the simple act of labeling P waves so often serves to make potential relationships between P waves and neighboring QRS complexes obvious. Using calipers facilitates the process. This is because you won't always be able to clearly see each of the sinus P waves in a complicated AV block tracing, because some of the P waves will often be hidden within QRS complexes or ST segments. But you usually will be able to march out many, if not most, of the sinus P waves, and using calipers usually allows you to quickly determine where most of the remaining P waves are likely to be hiding. I also like to number the beats. This is especially important for any arrhythmia that you will either be describing and writing for the medical record or discussing with a colleague. Unless you number the beats, there will often be confusion and uncertainty about which beat is being talked about. But in addition to clarifying which beat or beats you are referring to, numbering the beats facilitates recognition of patterns. For example, it becomes easy to see that the RTAR intervals between beats, for example, 2, 3, and 4, is virtually the same as the RTAR intervals between beats 5, 6, and 7, and between beats 8, 9, and 10. It is this recognition of a pattern that repeats which provides one of the best clues that atrial activity is being conducted. And this often becomes much more obvious when atrial activity is labeled and QRS complexes are numbered. You'll note my reference to atrial activity. I do this because similar principles apply for determining if atrial activity with atrial flutter or P waves in an atrial tachycardia are conducting, as applies for determining if sinus P waves are being conducted. To summarize, imagine you are given a complex arrhythmia to interpret that suggests some form of AV block with some AV dissociation. You've numbered the QRS complexes and you've placed arrows over all P waves. At this point, I like to step back a little bit from the tracing and look to see if there is some form of repetition, some pattern of beats that repeats. I especially look to see if two or more QRS complexes are preceded by a P wave with the same PR interval. While possible that by chance you might see a similar PR interval more than once on a tracing, Most of the time when you see this, it indicates that at least some of the beats on the tracing are being conducted. And if there is conduction of at least some of the P waves, then by definition, the rhythm cannot be complete AV block. Finally, I look to see if, despite regularly occurring sinus P waves, if any of the QRS complexes occur earlier than expected. Most of the time when there is complete AV block, the rate of the escape pacemaker, be it from the AV node, the HIS, or from the ventricles, most of the time the ventricular escape rhythm will be regular, or at least almost regular. If despite continued on-time P waves, one or more QRS complexes occur earlier than expected, then the reason these earlier than expected QRS complexes occur is almost certain to be that these beats are being conducted.